Reminded me. It's a story about a millennial who's an atheist who has the guy has a talk show, and his father is a pastor. He used to believe in God, and he doesn't believe in God anymore. And God is doing things in that show to convince him from a bush on the street on fire to convince him that he's God. And I believe that this month God wants to do something because we're his friends, and God's going to make a believer out of us. This young man believes that there is no intervention, there's no higher power that can intervene. He just believes that life is a series of choices, and we make choices, and we make the best. He got mad at his father. He said, "You're lying to these people, selling them hope." And there are many people in life right now, you're questioning, your faith is on life support. God, if you're so good, why did these bad things happening? If you're so kind, why did this and why did that happen? And God wants you to know that in the middle of what you're going through, I got you. And I want to preach this series to people who your faith may be on life support. You may be struggling whether or not God is who he says he is, or just where you are in life. But I want to let you know that God has, look your neighbor and say, God has you. Look your neighbor again and say, God has you. Now, my mom, anybody grew up in a church that had a choir? And the choir sat in the back behind the thing. And my mom sung in the choir. Mama, they had white robes. They were cream by the time they got through. They started out white. And Mom had a way of looking, and we were cutting up in the thing. She didn't say a word, but she had a way of looking that you know when you got home. You know, when you were in school, when you would fight, you look at somebody. 3 o'clock, I'm getting you. Mama had this look that when we got home, I got saved every Sunday. I stayed there on the altar because I knew by the time we got home, and we get in the car, and she said something I live by. She said, "Jason, I'm going to make a believer out of you." Woo! To this day, just something goes through my body. But here's the reality. God's going to make a believer out of you this month. He ain't trying to whip you. He's not trying to strip you down. God wants to bless you so immensely that you are going to have no doubt in your mind that he's God and beside him there is no other. Look at your neighbor and say, God's about to make a believer out of you. Because here is the greatest challenge. God wants to make a believer out of you. Here's the greatest challenge in this age, particularly with those of us who have dreams. I love this about that show. You had a millennial who had a day job and a dream. There's some people in here who you work in a job, but your dream is constantly on your mind. You're working in somebody's cubicle, but you're thinking about where you could be. You're thinking about what life is going to look like. In the middle of this, as smart as you are, here's what God wants us to know. Our greatest struggle is to live a life independent of God. You may say, "Oh, no, I don't never question God's existence." No, that's not what I'm saying. There comes a point in life where you can't think and talk your way out of everything. There comes a point in life, money cannot buy anything. Money can buy you nice clothes. Money can buy you a car. It can buy you a house. It can buy you some eyebrows. It can buy you hair. It can buy you whatever. Money can buy you just new body parts. It can inflate stuff. Money can do all kind of stuff. But there comes a point in life that money can't buy you health. And I'm not against you having certain things. God wants you to be blessed. It is not a good testimony if you're not paying your electric bill and saying, "Me and Jesus got," no, Jesus ain't got nothing to do with you getting your lights, because he want to help you keep your lights on and be in good standing, have good credit and all that stuff like that. He wants you to do well. But here's the thing. None of us can make it without God. And I have learned through a series of events that I'm not smarter than God, that I can't outthink God. I talk for a living. You guys are here because I talk every weekend. But there have been some things that I could not talk myself out of, that I had to come into submission that, God, if it had not been for you who was on my side. Is there anybody here who has that testimony that, God, if you hadn't rescued me, I don't know where I would be? So I want to challenge you in here today to let you know that good decisions are good. I want you to make great decisions. I want you to have great character. I want you to be smart, but you need something greater than you. You need something bigger than you to rescue you in every part of your life. The scripture basis, I begin to look through this. I'd encourage you to check the show out. It comes out comes on tonight after 60 minutes. It's a phenomenal show. But the scripture basis, I wanted to use scriptures in the Bible where God called people his friends. And the first one I want to use next week, I'm using John 15, because he said, "You are his friend. You and I were his friend." But the first one I want to use is Abraham. That's the first reference of where I've heard that God said he's a friend of God. And on the screen there, you can see it, James 2:25, and it says, "And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God." Abraham was the father of faith. I'm going to show you Abraham's story today. Well, God took him in Genesis 12 to a phenomenal land. He said, "I'll make your name great." And he said, "And it was reckoned to him as righteousness." And he was called the friend of God. Somebody say, "A friend of God." You're wondering, what does that have to do with me? What does it mean that I'm Abraham was a friend of God. What does that got to do with me? It has everything to do with you. Because the promise I'm about to tell you today is applicable to your life. Galatians 3:29 says that if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. I am, my last name is Scales, S-C-A-L-E-S. The way I talk, people think I say Skills, but it's Scales. And the funeral home here, when I moved to Murfreesboro, people said, are you kin to the Scales that run the funeral home? Why, sure I am. Are you kin to the lady who they're named after, Mary Scales, Scales Elementary? Yes, I am. Y'all want to know the truth? I really don't know them. I see them at family reunions. If they saw me, they may, you know, they're great people, but I'm not that close to them like that. But because, and they ask Barbara all the time when she's on campus at MTSU, are you kin to the Scales and all these things? And she says, yes. There are certain doors that have been opened because of my last name. I ain't do nothing. I just showed up. My last name was Scales. Do you not know, as being a child of God, you're the same way? Just by being born into the family of God, there are certain things you have a right and a privilege to. That's why we don't pray in the name of our own name. I don't pray in the name of Jason. I don't pray in the name of my past. I pray in the name of Jesus. Because when I say Jesus, I get all rights of heaven that show up in my life. So you are a descendant of Abraham, and what I'm about to tell you, you have a right to it in your life. Genesis chapter 12, you got your Bible, you can turn there. I'll get there in a minute. But God tells Abraham, he said, go to a land that I'll show you. And my whole life I've heard, man, he said, leave your family, leave your whatever. And people get excited. I'm about to leave my family. Everybody ain't with me. They stand right here. I'm going to another level. I want you to understand why God told Abraham that. There's a whole lot of backdrop there that I want to give you. Genesis chapter 11. Let me give you. Anybody need pictures to learn? Anybody learn better from pictures? For all the people like me, I'm going to walk you through Genesis chapter 11. Y'all know they ain't look like that, right? I just found the best pictures I could. This is Genesis chapter 11 in pictures. There was a guy named Terah. Terah had three sons. Abram, I don't even know if they had suits back then. Nahor, he had a son named Nahor. And he had a son named Haran, three sons. And God told him to go to a land called Canaan. He said, go from where you are, and I want you to get to Canaan. Something happened on their way to Canaan. Terah's son Haran died on their way to Canaan, so he suffered loss. Nobody plans to go forward in God and something bad to happen. You expect great things to happen. And furthermore, no parent plans on burying their child. So here he is burying his child on the way to God, to what God promised him. And he said, listen, we got to go. So he moved from Ur, the place of loss, headed to Canaan, the place of promise. He took Abram and Lot, the two people there with him. He said, we're moving on up, fellas. We got to keep moving. Well, something happened because all of us have triggers, triggers that remind us of certain things in our life. Some of you right now, you can walk in and you can smell a certain cologne. And remember, it'll remind you of that dude you dated back in the 90s. It'll remind you, you hear R. Kelly 12 playing. It takes you back to certain things that happened. I wish he would. All these things come in your life. Well, let me tell you what happened. When Abram and Lot and Terah were going to Canaan, they ran across a city called Haran. What was the name of his child that died? I'm assuming he had a trigger moment, because in the place he settled, the Bible said he settled in the place called Haran, which was the same name of the son he died. Many of us, when setback happens in our life, we stop moving and we settle. Look at your neighbor and say, don't you ever settle. You're better than your last mistake. Tell them you're better than your last mistake. That does not define you. That is not who you are. I don't care what has happened. God's promise and God's plan for your life will not change. And what happens is we start to lower our standards. You have parents who pray for their children, and then the children start to get in trouble, and you go from God, let him go from Harvard, and then he gets arrested. Lord, just don't let him kill himself. You lower your prayer to accommodate your circumstance. Never lower your expectation to accommodate where you are. There's always better than where you are. They settle in that place. Here's what amazing that happened. Not only did he settle, the Bible said Terah, who was on his way to his promise, died in Haran, the same place with the name of his son. Many of us die before we stop living. You give up on things. You give up on your dreams. You act like God changes his mind, like God is surprised by what you're going through. God is not surprised by what you're going through. Don't you die where you are. Don't you settle where you are. Terah died in Haran, the same name, the son that he lost. And here's what you pick up in Genesis chapter 12 in your Bible. Well, God says, Abraham, go to a land that I was showing you. It was not a new land. It was the same land that his daddy was going. But Abraham made a decision that said, enough is enough. Is there anybody here in your family said, I've seen enough dysfunction go on in my family? I've seen enough generational ignorance. I've seen enough generational curses. I've seen enough generational struggle that I am making a decision. I may have made some of the mistakes that they made, but it stops with me. I want to talk to the people in here and say, I'm ready to go to my promised land, and all the dysfunction stops with me. That makes sense in here? So here's what happens. It picks up in Genesis chapter 12, and these are the five things in order to you to see the friendship of God come alive in your life is this. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, God extends an invitation. Who is in, most of y'all in here on social media, and on Facebook in particular, when somebody wants to be your friend, you get the opportunity to confirm or delete them as a friend. God is sending you invitations every day of your life, saying, come closer. God is sending you moments where you say, I want you to experience my fullness. I want you to experience my blessing. And God, right now in your inbox, in your heart, God's got a message waiting on you, saying, I want you to confirm this. I want you to, or you're going to delete this. It could be the worst moment of your life that you're trying to delete is the moment that God said, I want you to invite me in because I want to show you something great. Genesis 12, verse 1 says this, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house. Why? Because they settled. They settled. So he said, I got a place for you that I promised to them. I want you to go, he said, to the land that I will show you. So God is sending you an invitation. And the journey starts right where you are right now. God wants to use you. Look at your neighbor and say, God wants to use you. He wants to take you to a place that you never imagined. You think you got dreams? Your dreams are not the half of what God wants to do. You dream on a human level. God dreams on a heavenly level. God's got an invitation for you. You think you see something in school right now? You think you're experiencing something with all the stuff you're going through? God's about to blow things up in your life, and there's an invitation to more. There's an invitation to greater right now in your life. Here's the reason why God said, I'm going to send you to a place. He says, I'm going to redefine what certain things mean to you. In life, stuff happens. Nobody told you that your dream relationship would turn into a nightmare. Nobody told you. You're getting there. College students, wave your hand at me. I had this dream that when I got out of school, I'm going to make $70,000 in my first job. Nobody told me that I would send out 100 resumes to get, some of them didn't get responded to. And I barely made half of that 70 on my first job. Nobody tells you that you have to sometimes start at the bottom before Drake ever came up with the song, Now I'm Here. That you have to start low. Nobody ever told you that the things that were going to happen, but God extends an invitation to you. He said, it doesn't matter where you start, that's not where you're going to end. Why? Because you don't plant trees, you plant seeds. You don't start where you're going to finish. So don't be despised by the day of small beginnings. Somebody's questioning right now whether or not you're following God because of where you are. No, God starts with small things. God is extending to you an invitation to a life greater. When we came here, it was an invitation to greater. We started out in Christiana Middle School for 2 years. And you know, when you start out, people don't think you're a real church because you don't have a school building. So they say, y'all still in that school? Like, y'all really not a church till you get a building. 2 years later, this church that was in here folded. And it folded, and we bought the building. And I said, God, are you sure? And God said, this is it. I said, God, they ain't even nowhere for them to stand outside. There's no vestibule. They walk out, they might as well leave. People, when you walk in, you ain't even got time to get yourself. You know, you go to other churches, you can get yourself together. Looking at them, you walk in, they, bam, you just sit right there. People looking at you. You just walk right in. I said, are you sure? God said, this is it. He said, Jason, when you go where I tell you, I said, this is Christiana, God. This is in the middle of the country. Rooster's been walking around here for a long time. Y'all just seeing this one right now. They've been cock-a-doodle-dooling for years out here. I said, are you sure? He said, this is an invitation. He said, I'm going to turn nowhere into somewhere because you're there. Just trust me. And look around. Y'all fanning, but it's two services. They downstairs. You're bringing in portables like we done grew out of school or something. They down the street. We're believing God to build. Like, I believe that God keeps his promises, but it doesn't look like it in the beginning. The half ain't been told. You ain't seen nothing yet, but God's doing you the same way. And it's an invitation to greater. And he said, are you going to accept this or are you going to delete this? And he said, with this invitation, not only is that, he said, with my invitation, I also give a promise. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 says, and I will make your name great. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And so shall you shall be a blessing. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who who curse you. And in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God gives a promise with every direction and invitation he gives. Because he knows most of us, most of you are like me, I got trust issues. Anybody want to go on and testify like me and say you have a hard time trusting? No, come on, be honest. Y'all looking real cute. We have a hard time trusting. What's real? I know you can, but will you? I know you can show up at 11, but were you really going to be here around 11:30? Like when you get disappointed so many times, and watch this, some of us have trust issues not because of what people did to us, but because of what we did to people. Oh, y'all looking at me now. And guilt has a way of eating at your conscience. And you got a way of looking over your shoulder and wonder, are you doing to me what I've done to somebody else? But here's the thing with God. You can trust him every single time. He's been doing this a long time. Before you got here, he was still God. When we go on to be with him in glory, he's still going to be God. So I trust him. Somebody look to heaven and say, God, I trust you. Because God's promise is greater than your desire. God wants to heal you more than you want to be healed. He wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. So God gives directions, then he gives a promise that said, this is what it's going to be. Oh, yeah. So within this place, there's a promise that God gave me. His promise is, Jason, I will turn nowhere into somewhere because I placed you there. So whenever I drive out here, I say, it's a long way, God. I ask people, how long did it take y'all to get here? Lord, it took us 35 minutes. And don't let that train come on Sunday morning. I said, Jesus. They're going to be stuck out there in the train. The air ain't working good in here. He said, Jason, I will turn nowhere into somewhere because you're there. You got to get a promise from God over every situation in your life. I don't care how your kids are acting. God, you said they're the head and not the tail. God, these college bills are coming in. You said the righteous would never be forsaken and the seed would never beg bread. God, I got this from the doctor's report. By your stripes, I am healed. God, I got bills just coming from everywhere and you shall supply all of my need according to your riches in glory. So what was the promise to Abraham that we can take in our life? The first promise is this. He says, I'll make you a great nation. Sarah, here's the problem. Sarah was barren. She couldn't have children, but he's going to be the father of many nations. When you walk in the plan of God, God will make what's barren become fruitful. Ooh, do you know what? Do you know what the last words the pastor who had this church, nothing against him at all, but when we bought the building, he told me about all the hardship he had. He said, our church split 3 times. We were down to 12 members. He said, one of my members tried to fight me. And he said, he shook my hand and said, good luck. I said, oh, Jesus, what in the world am I getting to? Can I tell you that a place that once used to be barren is now fruitful? I don't care what they say about your city. I don't care what they say about your job. When you're there, the blessing of God does not have a zip code. If God can do it in Chicago, he can do it here. If God can do it in Atlanta, he can do it here. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others. Somebody say, he'll do it for me. He make you a nation. And he said, I'll give you a land. He said, I'll give you a land. He said, I'll give you a Canaan, a place that will produce your promise. Because here's the challenge. Some of you got great dreams, but you are in miscarriaging places. Places that cannot birth what's on the inside of you. And God said, I will put you in a fruitful place. He said, I'm going to place you on a job that will nurse your potential. I'm going to place you in a place, people who get you, people who understand you, people who know your dreams, people who don't think you crazy. When you tell them one day this is going to happen, one day that's going to happen. God said, I'm surrounding you with the right people. Then he said, I will make your name great. This is for every name dropper in the building. You don't have to tell people how good you are. You don't have to broadcast yourself. When God puts his anointing on your life, when God makes you good, he'll spread your name everywhere. You don't have to tell people how many degrees you do or do not have. You don't have to flaunt around. You don't have to use your hips, lips, or fingertips to get in any place. God will use your mind. God will use the promise of God on your life. Why? Because he said, I'll make your name. Y'all right in here? Then he said, I'll protect you. I got to get where I'm going. He said, I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. This is the day where you quit worrying about they. People get blessed. Oh, they ain't. Oh, what they going to say now when this happened? Who is they and why do you care? Oh, they really going to talk now, sister, when this. Oh, brother, when this happened. Later for they. Your they is your ride or die. Your they, God will take care of your haters and your enemies. I'll show you here in the scripture in a minute. God said, I want you to live. Let your neighbor say, mind your business. Tell them, get a life. When you take care of your life, you got 12 hours to mind your own business and 12 hours to stay out of somebody else's. When you get a life, you ain't worried about nobody else's life. Let me get where I'm going. So an invitation and a promise. Y'all got me off course. The next thing is this, he said, a step of faith. It's not enough to have a promise because this room is loaded with potential. Lord, if half of us did the stuff that God said we could do, we turned the economy around. The cure for cancer and AIDS could be right here in this room. If we just stepped out and did what God said, Dukes, people are looking for jobs, and you, the employer, they're looking to work for. If you just step out and we just did it, but here's the thing. You got to take a step of faith. Genesis 12 and 4 says, so Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now, Abram was 75 years old when he departed from where? Haran. You got to leave the place that everybody else settled in. You got to leave the place that everybody else died in. You got to go to where God says is yours. You got to go. If God said it, look at your neighbor and say, it's time for you to get up. It's time for you to go and get what God says is yours. I'm going to date myself, but anybody remember Outkast from the 90s? Oh, one of my favorite lines was, you got to get up, get out, and get something. Don't let the days of your life pass by. Man, you got to get up. It's time for you to get up from where you are. Look at your neighbor and say, get up. It's time for you to get out of the place of settling. It's time for you to go and get what God says is yours. Is there anybody here that says, I'm more than average? I'm more than my greatest mistake. I am more than my issues. It's time for you to take a step of faith and get out of all the excuses and get what God says is yours. There's an invitation. Then there, after the invitation, there's a promise. After the promise, you got to take a step of faith. And here's what I love about God. When you take a step of faith, God always confirms what he says. He said this in Genesis 12 and 7. It said, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. So he built an altar there when the Lord had appeared to him. Everybody in here, you may be afraid to ask God, am I in the right place? I need a sign that I'm doing the right thing. God is not bothered by giving you confirmation. Humans, we are bothered by that. When we went to Florida last week, we were there at GameStop, and my son said, Daddy, can you get me WWE 16 and 17? I said, you got 18. You got the, why do you want? He said, I just want the game. I said, when we get back home, we're going to get the game. Do you know he has asked me 4 or 5 times a day since we have been back? And I'm in my mind, my humanity. Anybody, your patience ever get stretched then? I started to call GameStop and say, just take it off the shelf or just put it there. I want him to look at it and see what he could have had because he's getting on my, just watch him cry, just hurt his feelings. Why? Because he's got on my nerves that bad. But is anybody glad that God ain't human? God don't mind if you ask him 40 times a day because God is not going to change. He said, Jason, I'm going to do it. I want you to trust me and take me at my word. Anybody believe that God will give you confirmation? Can I tell you how many times God has done it for me? I've been moved to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Many of you have been here for a while. You know that. And I wasn't sure because I didn't know a soul there. And I said, God, are you sure this is me telling you? And I felt in the middle of life. God just said, shift. He said, Jason, it's your time of shifting. It's your time for moving. I said, Lord, that may have been in crystals. I ate about 2 in the morning. I don't know if it's you or not, but I went ahead. I did. I went ahead and accepted the job. I moved, and they were coming to pick my stuff up. And I drove from Shelbyville. I was staying with my parents. And when I got back, this kid, I hope he's watching on social media. His name is Jeff Lobb. He's a missionary in Canada right now. He had moved away, and he found my number. And he said, Jason, I don't know why I'm calling you, but he said, the Lord placed you on my heart. And he said, I don't know what transition. He didn't know clue. He said, I don't know what transition is going on in your life right now, but I want you to know that you're on the right path, and God is using you. Boy, I about fell out right there in the living room. Then moving people were looking at me, and I'm just sitting there shaking. It didn't happen just that once. I lost a college student. I lost a scholarship in grad school. Lost it. I lost one in undergrad. I didn't get that back. In grad school, I said, listen, I lost this one. God, I want this one back. And I said, God, I want it back. I listened to a sermon on how to get stuff back, and I declared it. And God promised. He said, Jason, I had to make a 4.0 like 3 semesters in a row to get my GPA up to stay in school. And my parents found out about it when I preached. But here's the thing. God said, I'm going to do it. I can tell them now they can't whip me up here. But here's the thing. We went to Miami about a month before that fall semester started. And we were at these people's house. And they were praying over all of us. And we outside, I'll never forget it. You know what it said? He made an altar. I remember the place when God speaks to me. We were standing outside and the lady was praying for all of us. And I remember these bushes being behind me. They were pretty bushes too. And she said, let me tell you why I found out the bushes were pretty. Because she prayed for me. And she said, that thing that God promised you, God's going to do it. And you're going to have it by the time school starts. I tore them little bushes up.
I bet she wanted to take me and all her little gardeners and beat me with a switch. I fell out in them bushes. She had no idea. I didn't want to tell my parents I lost another scholarship. God will cover you. Look at your neighbor and say, God will cover you. They pulled me out them bushes. I had scratches, and I ain't care. I got my scholarship back. And 2 weeks, maybe a week or so before school got started, they called me back and said, we got your scholarship back. God will confirm his word. God, is this the person I should marry? Am I at the right school? Am I in the right career? Am I doing it? Ask him. He'll confirm it with you.
Oh, yes.
You all right in here? So God will give you confirmation. God gives you an invitation. He gives you a promise. You take a step of faith. He will confirm his word. Then he gives you grace. There's a lot of words up there. I'll read it. Let me tell you about God. There's a whole lot of words, a little bit of words. Let me tell you about God. I'm going to just tell you what it says. You can read it. God called you and he knew you had issues. God knew you had a temper. He knew you had flesh problems. He knew that we were slow. He knew that we were procrastinators. God's call is not stopped by your issues. Now, he doesn't condone them or wink and say, boy, you got a problem. That is not what God does. He graces the power to overcome them. Here's what happened. God called Abraham, and Abraham had a problem. He had a patience problem because he produced a child that was not the son of promise, Ishmael, that was born before Isaac. Not only that, he was a bit of a coward. He didn't have courage, and he had a lion problem too. So he was going to Egypt from where he was, and he said, listen, Sarah, you're a beautiful girl, and I heard in Egypt they taking folks' wives. So here's what we're going to say. True story. Read the Bible. He said, when we get to Egypt, tell them you're not my wife, but tell them you're my sister so they can spare me, and we're going to be okay. What kind of man is that? Girl, you're so fine, but when we get here, I ain't got time to be fighting for you. You tell them you're my sister. Y'all would have looked at him like he was crazy, but Sarah must have been one of them ride or die chicks. She said, baby, I got you. And she lied for him. But something happened. When the king normally did what he did with women, he couldn't. God has a way of covering you even in your worst mistakes. That's a little ahead of where I am right now. But God has grace for you right where you are. God knows you have issues. That's why he said, with loving kindness have I drawn you. And he said, I have given you grace. Could it be, watch this, Abraham in his head, I don't know about you, but Satan messes with me. He gives me chatter of all the reasons why God won't do what he said he's going to do. All the while, God is blessing me, but Satan's telling me why he wouldn't. Abraham saw his father die and not reach the promise. Can you imagine what happened when they took his wife and he said, Lord, she's supposed to produce children for me. I done made a mistake. I done gave her up. And Satan started. See, it happened to your daddy. It's going to happen to you. I told you, you're stupid. You're dumb. Here's the thing about Satan. He'll talk you into doing something, then call you stupid for doing it. How many know I'm telling the truth in here? He'll talk you into it, man. You go on, do it. Go on, be a dog. Go on, do it. You stupid idiot. What'd you do that for? And you sitting here battling with guilt and shame and all these things going on. But God said, grace came in. And God said, watch this, Abraham. I got you. My grace covered you. I know you had issues. I don't know who I'm talking to in here, but God knows you got issues. And he has grace to cover you in the middle of your issues. And when that, watch this. What if the worst thing that's happening in your life is actually you winning? What if what you're calling pain and struggle is actually God refining you? If you work out in here, you go to bed with sore abs, your legs hurt when you get up, you can't walk, you eat tree bark because you can't eat regular food, you change your diet, you can't drink cherry Pepsis, you just got to drink water and all this stuff. But your body starts to tail off on you after a while. What if winning actually feels like losing when it's happening? What if God's grace is covering you right now and you're actually winning and you think you're losing? So he said, that's called grace. Grace showed up, and I told you, what was supposed to happen to Sarah couldn't because God blocked it. Can I tell you that when you're walking in purpose, what Satan has the power to do, he doesn't have the permission to do? Because many of us, you'll be honest, some of us should be dead right now. Some of you have drove home, and you don't know how you drove home drunk the way you did. Some of you have had encounters that you said, God, I don't know how you got me out of that. Many of you have prayed this prayer that I have prayed. Lord, if you just get me out of this. Anybody ever prayed that prayer before? Lord, I'll never ask you this again. God, if you just get me out of this. One of the greatest mistakes in my life, it came back to haunt me a year later. I had made a mistake in a calculation when I worked for Cigna, and I told this company we were going to save you money. Not only did we not save them money, we cost them money. I couldn't sleep that night, and I went to a park, and I prayed. I said, God, I got to take care of Isaiah and Barbara. God, I got to do this. I got to do that. I can't lose this job. I need you to help. You ever play them desperate prayers when nobody else ain't around? Jesus, just please, Jesus. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It ain't cute when you by yourself. You already know, Jesus. You already know. Jesus, I messed this one up. I can't. I'm gonna go, when I go in here, I'm going to act like I didn't do it. But God, you know I messed this up. And I said, God, if you just help me this time, I'll never be here again. He said, Jason, don't say that. You're going to mess up again. He said, my grace and my mercy, they'll never run out. He said, just ask me to help you and I'll get you through this. Can I tell you that God helped me? I learned from it. I will better as a result of doing it. And God helped me even with the clients. I was honest with them and said, I made a mistake. And they said, thank you for being honest with us. And this is how we can make it up. You know, sometimes the cover up is worse than what you're going through. Messed up. Help me, God. And God has a way of covering you. And here's the thing. He beautifies the meek with salvation so you don't look like what you've been through. Y'all sitting there quiet, but some of us know we done put ourselves through hell. We done put ourselves through some mess. And you sitting in here got just looking real good. And God has a way of covering you with mercy that says, not so. I'm going to let you testify for a moment. Is there anybody in here that been through some stuff that you know that should have destroyed you? Anybody been in here that you made some mistakes that if God wouldn't guard, you wouldn't want him to know about, but God never took his hand off your life? Anybody in here seen God do things for you that you know you did not deserve? Anybody in here just say God bless you tremendously and you look around and say, God, I have no idea why you keep doing this. But God, it humbles me and I just want to say thank you. Anybody seen God rescue you from stuff that other people perished in and you don't know why they perished? But God, I don't know why you delivered me from that. I don't know why you broke that addiction. I don't know why you rescued me. I don't know why this happened. But God, I just want to say thank you. Can you stop for a moment? Can somebody just tell God thank you for your mercy? Thank you that I'm sitting here right now. God, I could be in a crazy house. God, I could be walking the street. I could be just out of my mind. I could be in so many places, but thank you. Here's what's going to happen this month. I'm through. God is about to take you to a place that you never imagined. God's going to use you to help people that you never imagined with your issue, with all the stuff that some of you know you'd be tripping. God's going to use you in the middle of all this stuff, and he's going to show you that I'm God, and besides me, there is none other. I want to promise you this. I believe God this month. God's going to do something so big that you're going to say, can't nobody do that but God. I need everybody in here to stand to your feet. I'm going to hit several of you when I do this. But if somebody's in a position that you say, God, if you don't do what I need done, it can't be done. I need you to show up and show out in my life. If that's you, I want you to lift both your hands. We're going to see God do some tremendous things. I don't care what the report says. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the devil tells you. When he reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. Because your future is bright. Your future is destined for greatness. Father, we thank you for friending us. I'm expecting you to make a believer out of us to do things that only you could do this month. God, to work on jobs. Restore financially. Touch bodies. Open doors. Do things that only you heal right now in the name of Jesus. Bring peace in the name of Jesus. Open doors. Shut the mouth of the enemy. Put an anointing on us that calls us to supersede every trial that we face in the name of Jesus. And Father, we're believing you that over the course of this month, we ain't seen nothing yet. You are the God of miracles. And what we saw you do for Abraham, you're going to do for us. What we saw you do in the Bible, you're going to do it for us. Because the blood of Jesus, the power in his name still has power. And I thank you that it's working and moving right now. I thank you that, I don't know who this is, but somebody, that thing that you thought was going to destroy you, that thing that you thought was the nail in the coffin, is actually God's way to put you in a better place. He's got grace for it. He's got mercy for it. You walk in his promise and he's going to deal with that in the name of Jesus. Father, here's my prayer. You put your hands down for every person in here who does not know you. If you're not in a relationship with Jesus, you're not his friend because you've not asked God to forgive you of your sin and accepted Jesus the Lord of your life. I'm going to lead you through a prayer. And if you do this for the first time,
Welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. If you want to, repeat after me. Father, I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Father, I admit I've sinned. I've done things that I'm not proud of. I ask right now that you forgive me of all my sins. Lift the load of guilt and shame off my life and every destructive pattern that my behavior has caused. Father, I thank you that I'm saved and Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. This is a new day. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And I'm ready for the promise to be evident in my life. I'm ready to be blessed in the city. Come on, say it. Blessed in the field. Blessed when I come. Blessed when I go. I am the head and not the tail. I'm greater than my last mistake. I'm a child and a friend of God. Father, I thank you for what you've done. Thank you that this is a month of miracles. Great things are about to happen. Come on, if you believe it, I want you to worship and praise God now. Come on. You believe great things are happening this month. Come on, open your mouth now. God's turning some things. Come on, God's moving. God's doing some things now. In the name of Jesus, we bless you. Shake three people's hand and tell them this is going to be one of the best months of my life.